Poetry is motion. Poetry is emotion. Poetry is he-motion. Poetry is her motion. Poetry is hurt motion. Poetry is heart motion. Poetry as a notion. Poetry was an ocean. Poetry is come motion. Poetry is. Thank you. Well, this is the Fred Tompkins Poetry and Music Ensemble. We're going to do a piece called Can't Hold On. It has in it a mantra, a Sanskrit mantra that will come up in the middle of it. You'll get the feel. It means, it goes gate, gate, para gate. When you hear that refrain, that's not English, but it's a meditation on the theme of this poem, which is gone, loss, and that roughly translates as gone, gone, completely gone, the goneness of gone. All I've ever said, all I've ever done, all I've ever wanted, gone, gone. All I've ever had, all I've ever won, all I've ever needed, gone, gone, gone like breath, the changing wind, bone to dust where once was skin. Won't ever be the same again. Gone, gone, can't hold on. Gone are all the selves I've been. Gone are those who once were kin. Gone like breath, the changing wind. Gone, gone, can't hold on. Gone, gone, can't hold on. Gatte, gatte, para gatte, para some gatte, bodhisvaha. If you're proud, catch a cloud. Gone, gone, can't hold on. If you're a giver, bring me a river. Gone, gone, can't hold on. At your birth, root in the earth. Gone, gone. Can't hold on. If you be higher, hold on to fire. Gone. If you dare, capture the air. Gone, gone, can't hold on. Gatte, gatte, para gatte, para some gatte, bodhisvaha. Thank you. all the dues I've ever paid. All the music that I've played. All the love I've ever made. Gone, gone, can't hold on. Gone are all the selves I've been. Same again. Gone, gone, can't hold on. Okay, we're going to do this piece. It's called Poet's Rap. Gather up and gather round, a poet's rap is going down. Nothing new, the evening news, colorfully true. St. Louis blues, aching through myth history, snaking round the mystery, shaking apples from your tree to lift you from your gravity. Poet's rap, it's a thriller. Poet's rap, it's a thriller. Now times are hard, careening fast. Each new day could be our last unless we use our heads and hearts and don't abuse our natural smarts. 'Cause any answer we can find, delving deep in heart of mine, down in its depths, still as stone, we understand we're not alone. Poet's rap, it's a killer. Poet's rap, it's a killer. Yet in our time we separate. Seeds get sown of fear and hate. This rap reminds us real eyes, life's unity that underlies our lonely separate transient me's, our individualities. Alone, compassion's what we need to fulfill life, not selfish greed. Poet's rap, it's a yearning. Poet's rap, it's life-affirming. Bo Jesus says so, Buddha too, Martin, Malcolm, and Lao Tzu, and every animal through whose eyes a soul cries out, we recognize. Each still small voice says, to be free, we must express our unity and bathe each self in selfless bliss as lovers do inside a kiss. Poets rap, thou art that. Poets rap, thou art that. So expand that identity and understand I'm not just me, and that the inside and the out is what we're finally all about. The universe is where we are, eternity's more near than far. The final word is all is one. So now you know, the rap's undone. Poets rap, it'll haunt ya. Poets rap, it's a mantra. It's a mantra. It's a mantra. Thank you. Now we're going to do a piece, not by me, but by Emily Dickinson, called There Is a Zone. There is a zone whose even years no solstice interrupt, whose sun constructs perpetual noon, whose perfect seasons wait. Summer set in summer, till the centuries of June, and centuries of August cease, and consciousness is noon. Fred Tompkins on flute. This next poem is called Deep Mirror. It's written for Catherine Dunham. Catherine Dunham, of course, is one of the great women of modern dance, a multifaceted person, who is best known for innovating modern dance by bringing African dance motifs and movements that she got from studying Haitian dance. She was an anthropologist, an actress, a dancer, a movie star. an educator, and she decided to settle in East St. Louis, Illinois, where she became a force for positive energy in that community and in our community. This poem tries to, in its way, gather up a lot of those associations. A lot of the imagery comes right out of Haitian dance, which is rooted in the voodoo and religion. So when I mentioned the Loas, and they have specific names, Legba, Erzuli, Gede, these are actually spirit entities which, according to the conventions and practices of the dance, enter the dancers and are said to ride them. So I deal somewhat with that as well as with the healing nature of art in this piece. She digs an endless root, cuts transplants, sets herself up as a root doctor in a powerful swamp, sets herself up all right, sets herself all upright. She digs an endless root, this dock of dance. Holds a mirror up to each patient's breath she do. Holds a sea up to a setting sun, oh yeah. Walks that same path, Dambala, we do each day, oh. Slides across the sky on that endless route. Hey. Root doctor dancing, the root twists and turns. Flames leap at the center, the heart weeps and yearns. A flaming swamp flower reaches up to the sky and down into the earth where the living must die. She digs an endless root, cuts transplants in the powerful swamp where the two rivers meet. The cuttings take hold through the earth of the dance of the blue people, aching and quaking their feet. Gatekeeper Legba, an old man in tatters, leans on his crutch in the dust of the path. He points with his pipe and its tiny fire to a place you can't see, but no matters. Doctor dancing, the flames dancing too. The garden is growing where the people are blue. She holds up a mirror that's deep as a gun. She offers an ocean to a serpentine sun. Gede sits dapper at the edge of a circle. His cigarette dangles, right legs crossed over knee. Behind his shades, an underworld darkens. Look in his eye, dancer. Whose eye do you see? She digs an endless root, cuts transplants. The dead are awakened by the din of the dance. Root doctor swaying the loa arise. They shine in her eyes now. She seems in a trance. A bucking bonange. She rides now in terror. She rides now in grace. She rides over the sea to the mouth of the river. She leaves you behind and she smiles through your face. Doc digs an endless root, cuts transplants. Sea flows through the rivers and sings in the swamps. Blue people buckle. Dambala still shines. And Shango speaks surely through the cracks in time. Root doctor, the patient revive. Root doctor, I didn't think that patient alive. The mirror is cloudy, spirit floats in a mist. The sun's in its bed now. The sea has been kissed. Root doctor loa, root doctor upright. Root doctor darkness and root doctor light. Endless root opens the gate of the night. Serpent sun memory. Speckled and bright. Holds a mirror up to each patient's breath she do. Holds a sea up to a setting sun, oh yeah. Walks that same path, Dambala, we do each day. Oh, slides across the sky. On that endless route. Hey. We're going to conclude the evening with the poem called The Man Who Looked Into Coltrane's Horn. This is more of a narrative poem than any that we've done so far. It's a story. This was a poem that, of course, is dedicated to the great artist, shaman, jazzman, John Coltrane. I was very fortunate to see what might have been Train's last concert at the Village Theater in New York in 1967. He died within 2 months of that concert. And at that concert, something very strange went down, and this event stayed with me for many years, and I eventually thought maybe I'd write about it someday. They didn't write about it until 25 years later. I don't think there's anything that needs explanation. There's a reference in the late in the poem to Bigfoot, who was a representative that the Lakota people on the plains sent to the prophet Wovoka to see if he was really had the right stuff, so to speak. So that's what that reference refers to. You'll hear what happened in the poem in passing. The man who looked into Coltrane's horn. Me and my main man, Mitch, perched in the balcony of the Village Theater, waiting for train and sweating that summery maybe June of, was it 67? I was almost 22, and anyway, it was Train's last year in the flesh. If you can believe it, the warm-up act, get this, Ornette. And believe you me, he had blown us away. He had this Swedish bass player, David Isenson, a balding descendant of the harpist king, a modest man with a beat, would always surprise you and delight with his light touch. And when he stroked with his bow, you wanted to bow before the otherworldly beauty, the fertile sound shape. You wanted to bury your head in the cave of that Venus of Venusdorf, resonating to his biblical embrace. Right then, I began a lifelong love affair with the fat, fat fiddle. And we wondered how anyone could follow such a set, had set the stage, warmed us up to fever fervor, tuned our sensory apparatuses to frequencies so fine, you could see ghosts of the Yiddish theater this dusty cavern used to be, floating by the drab curtain. Menashe Skolnick, dapper, bobbing to the ba-boom, ba-ba-boom beat, the snake-charming wail of Klezmer Cafe Reverie. And Molly Goldberg, leaning out the window of Yenta Heaven, shifting her spotlit palm from oy vey mouth to lotus ear, to forehead shading sack squinting eyes, as if peering down the tunnel of some lost subway station of the cross, eyed homeless goddess searching for the train who now was officially late. Late as only a ghost can know. No one produced Yiddish plays anymore. The language was dying. But the jazz of language, the funny language of jazz, still lived in the Village Theater and the train that we all came to catch and be borne away by. Train was overdue. Though the air had been conditioned to a degree, it had not been cooled. We were hot and damp in the dusty seats, drifting, leaning back to where we were, New York, the Lower East Side, the 60s. The mean streets leaned in, hairy with hippies, skittish with speed freaks, pulsing with poor Puerto Ricans. Only the Village Theater and the well-fed cockroaches remained from storied days of threadbare immigrant memories. Train would come. Train would take us away. But who knew Train himself was dying? Oh, sure, the sun, Ra, was dying too, in time, but more immediately. Dying was Vietnam. Vietnam's death consciousness was everywhere. Vietnam had our numbers, and Mitch and I were going anywhere but there. Canada, jail. Certifiably nuts. 1Y4FCOAWOL. Whatever it took to avoid that cold, drafty death trip. JFK was long gone. LBJ had saddled up the fat bullet bombs. Bobby, Martin, Malcolm, their days were numbered too. But Train was like Bird. I mean, his notes were scribed in the air, in the cosmos. And now we sensed he was in the hall. You could hear the shuffling backstage. And suddenly, without fanfare, the curtain sidled open. Dark forms crowded the shrouded stage. We could make out Alice stomping chords on the baby grand. And that must have been Jimmy Garrison, plucky at the bass. And they were flanked by an assemblage of streetwise percussionists, congas, bongos, traps, gongs, talking drums, bell trees, umbiras, dombeks, vibes, all emoting a kind of cacophonous swelling, a biomorphic mass vibrating something like thunder and bird thought shifting to the sound they say a tornado makes up close, swirling over the hillside. The ensemble built a kind of primordial chaos, something from the nothingness they shared, that shared them, taking away our breath and restoring us to a breathless awareness and alert anticipation of an electrical storm of violent renewal. And then Train emerged from the wings like a god, blowing in full stride. And he reached out with a finger of sound to the assembled host, charging the eye of their hurricaneish brew with a gleam of life's coherent, insistent yearning. And they and we were off, flying. Train was down to earth, businesslike in an unremarkable brown suit. His face was serious and intense, and he was blowing something beyond harmony and rhythm. Melodic snatches from riverbanks of memory, from the silt of the soul, interspersed between cries, moans, and laughs. Another music which was as if he had wired his brain for sound and was playing the 90% we supposedly don't use. Levels of consciousness finding form and expression in the awesome moment. The world's madnesses and wars swallowed in his inspired breath and spit out with all their raw and jagged edges. Painful and explosive and expansive. Horribly beautiful in the larger pattern. There was a point, how far into the set I couldn't say, for after the initial shamanic shock, we were with him beyond musical or chronological time. But a point in this newly created space was reached when something strange went down. A man rose from his aisle seat like an island rising from the sea. A long, lanky, bald-headed, blue, pea-coated black man rose and, as if drawn by an invisible lifeline, bounded over the sound waves and leapt onto the floating stage to stand and shimmer and smile mesmerically close to the saxophonic source. Train took no notice, immersed in his immense imminence, and the man smilingly swayed as Coltrane played a few of my favorite things. As Train took us out to those uncharted places, once again the man shook, electrically registering each shock wave, and then turned and peered down into the depths of Train's horn. For forever, it seemed. And then he looked back out to the oceanic audience, beatific and believing, like Bigfoot must have appeared after he stared into the hat of the ghost dance prophet and saw in that emptiness the whole world. Train kept playing, and the man stayed up there swaying. And then suddenly Train stopped, nodded to Alice, and let her lead the percussive swells of the underlying sound sea. And he turned and threw his arm around the silent witness and walked him toward the wings, whispering God knows what in his ear. The man clambered down the side stage steps and back to his seat on the aisle, and within moments Train reemerged to make us gasp at his rumbling train of thought. And then again the man bounded and leaped aboard and swayed and grimaced and smiled and buried his head deep into the golden Selmer flume, so that we could see the light of spot gleaming off his bald brown dome as Train played, implacably unperturbed through the intrusion, literally played through the head of the magnetized initiate. Undampened, unwound galactic genetic spirals of philosophic sound played from some invisible mountaintop through all our heads, the familiar, unfamiliar, epic notes, mapped journeys through this world and others, and brought us all home to a love supreme, A love supreme, a love supreme, a love supreme, a love supreme.